I said the Lord is good. Now, there are a number of scriptures I want us to read to start what we are going to discuss this afternoon in continuation of our discussion on the life, a life of purpose. All right? A life of what? Yeah, thank you very much. And we are going to commence today by reading, I said we'll read a number of scriptures, about four of them. One of them is Psalm 40 from verse 6. It says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but what did you do? My ears you have opened." He said, "Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God." He said, "And your law is within my heart." All right? Now I want to read a counterpart scripture to that from the book of Hebrews. I think we should quickly read that one. I like the way it's rendered in the book of Hebrews. Let's read from the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. It said, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire." This is the line I was looking for. "But a body you have prepared for me." He said, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Like we read just now, he said, "I delight to do thy will, and thy law is within my heart." Quickly again, let's read from the book of Psalms also, 139. The book of Psalms, chapter 139, from verse 13, it said, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." He said, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." This is the New King James. "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." He said, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." Please notice something here. I'm trying to explain a principle, talking about this, our issue of a life of purpose. I've read the scriptures to bring out something. Of course, these were written specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ, especially that one we read from the book of Hebrews and from Psalm 40. And why I read that one is for us to understand. You know, last time I concluded by explaining something. Actually, I wanted to go into what I'm going to discuss today. I wanted to start that last week, but as I was going on, well, I never got out of the clarification I wanted to make. And that's the fact that your life was made deliberately. What I mean is that before you were born, listen to this, a purpose was set for your life. You were not born to come and find a purpose for life. A purpose was established. Therefore, you were formed to fulfill that purpose. That's why I had to go read that one from the book of Hebrews when he said that a body thou hast prepared for me. That is, God had, if you read that one, he said that sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. That is, there was an assignment to fulfill. God did not have pleasure in something that was going on. And for that reason, so as to solve the deficiency that was there, he specially prepared a body and he put the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ inside it, and then he was born. And he was able to fulfill God's purpose because of that. I'm bringing out an issue here. That is, that same thing applies to everybody. You are not born by accident. You know, actually, the problem is that people think that God doesn't think of certain things. Do you get my point? That you were born to think that God thinks only of the building of the temple, of righteous living. It doesn't cross your mind that God is interested in the next generation of mobile phones. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. People think that those things are not spiritual. It doesn't cross your mind that God is interested in the next generation of cars that will be made. It doesn't cross our minds that God is interested in the kind of solar powers we'll be using, or the kind of technology we'll use for generating power. We think unconsciously. Now, really, that's what we think. We think God exists in those four walls, within the four walls of a church. And when things come out, it's slightly different what is going on there. Sometimes we actually wonder whether God knows mathematics. Now, it sounds funny. No, really, have you ever thought about it? That does God really know quadratic equation? You know he knows arithmetic, because that one was written clearly in the Bible. You know he adds, all those things are there. But the details of Albert Einstein's calculations, unconsciously we think that No, God doesn't even bother about those things. But this one I want you to understand, that there are equations that are yet to be written. And that's why I said before that most people, when we talk about call to ministry, what we are thinking of is what? And when we're talking about a calling or ministry, all we are thinking of is I have to go and preach. That's why a lot of people who, when they cannot, now let me say it again. I know I've said it enough. I hope you are not tired of hearing it. A lot of people, when they look in their lives and they cannot find satisfaction, they want to please God. You know the next thing they do? They start preaching. And you see, witnessing to your friend and your neighbor is the will of God. Did I hear an amen? Yeah, that is the will of God. But I'm talking about taking on preaching as a profession. You've seen it a lot. I don't want to mention names again. There are people I see on TV and I say, why is this guy bothering to preach? You know his reason? He wants to please God. Because he feels like, I dance for the devil. I sang for the devil. Let me now preach for God. He doesn't understand that you can dance for God and sing for God and not sing Jesus is coming again. Now, I was saying something, that there are equations that are yet to be written. Are you getting my point? And without a certain kind of brain, you can't write them. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Yes, and so when God wants to have those equations written, you know what he does? He forms a kind of brain and then passes that brain through a woman, all right? And the woman gives birth to a child, male or female. It can be any sex. And then that child will now be trained in life. But God specially wired, gave birth to him so as to solve all the things that confused them, Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking, till date. Are you getting my point? And until that fellow manifests, confusion will remain in the realm of science and mathematics, or physics and mathematics. Do you understand my point? But when he doesn't understand that, what he thinks is that as he's getting serious as a Christian, he goes to join the church, and let me tell you something about most pastors. We are human beings too. Did I hear an amen? We are human beings. Listen, let's assume that I want to start branches of Kingdom World Ministries. I won't look for the most spiritual person, what I mean, to go and help me. It's the person that's most dedicated. That's normal. I don't know whether you get my point. That is the normal thing. It's not spiritual. It's not wicked. It's just a normal fact of life. A lot of times, those most dedicated people were actually born to be physicists, not pastors. I will say this clearly, especially in today, where there are so many branches of churches all over the country. Let me say this again. Branches are good. Did I hear an amen? Branches are what? They are good. I'm not amongst those who say that there are too many churches. Who said so? In fact, they are not enough. This is how you know the churches are too many. When you get to one and there's nobody inside, that one should close. Now, did you hear what I said? Yes, when you get to one and there's nobody inside, let that one close. But as long as people are going there, I think we don't have enough yet. Amen? Uh-huh. So let's just clarify that. But because of branching, you know, sometimes some good things can become, people can turn them into what is bad. All right? You find a lot of people, now I'm saying this and I believe totally, a lot of people who are pastoring, I look at them and I feel sorry for them, that forget this job, it's not your job. And do you know why they do it? Because they actually think that is how to please God. A man works in a bank, he's a very good banker. All right? But he doesn't cross his mind that banking is God's business. So he banks for the world, he says, and then he comes to pastor for God. I don't know whether you got that. So maybe I work in maybe Guarantee Trust. I feel like that work I'm doing in Guarantee Trust is for the shareholders of Guarantee Trust Bank. But the one I do in the evening in church and on Sundays, that is the one that is for God. Therefore, if a man is not doing that, he thinks that he's not yet doing anything for God. Do you follow the point I'm making? And that's what caused a lot of confusion. And actually, I have heard pastors preach it. I heard a man many years ago. I hope he doesn't say that anymore. He's a well-known man. He said that you can go. He was talking about people, the fact that people are not ready to stay in church for long. He said, you are willing to go to church and to work 8 hours a day and work for a boss who is not even saved, but you cannot sit in church for 3 hours on Sundays. On Sunday. And about 8 hours, you are working for a boss that's not even saved. I heard this many years ago, around 1992. And I told myself, I said, sir, this is not true. I'm not working for a boss that's not saved. I'm working for God. Do you get my point? I'm not working for a boss that's not saved. I'm working for God. And Christians must understand that everything you do is supposed to be done as a matter of ministry, as unto the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining this principle to highlight the scriptures we read. That before you were born, there was a solution that God wanted to pass down to the earth, and he created you for that purpose. You're not supposed to get down here and be looking for something you can do to help somebody. Well, I want to get into how you, well, as we are going on, how you find out exactly which one is your own to fulfill. But please, you first must get this mindset. That's why, look, I like something, you know, this woman, I quote her a lot, Mary Kay Cosmetics. All right? In her book, Miracles Happen, somebody said something about her and the company. That company was not about that woman, but there was a divine accident waiting to happen. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, that woman did not create the company. God created the company and was waiting for the person through whom he could what? Manifest it. And let me say it again. There is no problem in life you have ever identified. There is no issue in life you have ever seen and desired a solution for that God does not already have a solution prepared. There's none. And part of that solution, in fact, the most vital part of that solution is the person through whom he wants to introduce it. And listen, let me say it again. That person was specifically wired to be able to manifest it. Whether you like it or not. And you see, as human beings, we can learn virtually anything. You know that. You know, as a human being, you can learn virtually anything. You can learn to draw. You can learn to paint. You can learn to sing. And you can learn to preach. You can learn to talk. You can learn to do anything. You can learn to run. But listen, it is not an accident that few people on earth... Is it who's involved? Now, it's not an accident that few people on earth can beat him. Let me tell you something. If you were not wired for that speed, train from the time you were born to the time you die, you can't make it. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's not everybody that can sing. Let me tell you the truth. Now, I said something, first of all, that most human beings can do virtually anything. Do you get my point? Yes, virtually anybody can learn to do something. But to become extraordinarily excellent in the thing, it must be part of you. Now, get my point. It must be part of you. You can't try. You just don't try and reach that point. Now, if God puts a gift and an ability inside your heart, if you don't do anything about it, we may never know. There are many businessmen who are medical doctors, and we will never find out. I'm telling you the truth. They've gone to school. They have read. They have passed. They are good. I mean, this is just about knowing how to read and being teachable. So the fellow have settled down, and he's seen the number of patients a day, earning a good salary, he's married, has children, and life is just going on smoothly. But there was a young man I met once. He was my student. After we chatted, I told him that I think it would be a great mistake if he decided to practice medicine. Unfortunately, the guy was very intelligent. Oh, he's very intelligent, a young man, very, very smart. Now, I can't run the life of somebody else for him. Do you understand my point? That one doesn't, it's not my business, but I have the right to my opinion. And after talking to him, I told myself, see, the fact that you are smart and you were in secondary school, they gave you physics A1, all right? Chemistry A1, mathematics A1, Greek A1. You went to jam, killed jam. Therefore, they put a cutoff point for medicine in the school you chose to be 325. You got 328, whatever, but you entered the place. That is no proof. Now, you are just intelligent. Now, get my point. Intelligence is intelligence. I don't know where I get my point. That's not a calling. Nobody says that if you get beyond that, below that level, it's what qualifies you not to become a doctor. Are you getting what I'm saying? After talking with him, I told myself, God. I told him straight, why on earth, okay, you finish school, you want to become a specialist, and all these things, because chatting with the young man, I said, this boy is smart, but he will have done better to have studied economics, not medicine. Along the line, we'll talk about how the society helps direct you in the wrong path in life. They put something up in front of you. All right? and make it an what they call it, the standard. And every young man is striving to become a particular thing. Like I always say, education is for the purpose of being educated. Education is meant to get you educated. After you've become educated, you now sit down and ask yourself, what really can I do? Now, the reason is this. You know, I said at the beginning that anybody can learn to sing. Anybody can learn to run. But no matter how hard you train, to beat somebody like Usain Bolt is going to be very, very hard for you. Except you have the ability inside you. Except you have it. Listen, I'm a pathologist, all right, by medical training. So I studied the issue of molecules, genetics, and stuff like that. And I know that we are wired differently. That's a matter of fact. We are what? We are wired differently. Okay? Now, I'm coming to something. If you are not wired in a particular form, you can sit, train yourself to achieve a certain level of excellence in that thing. You get my point? With so much trying. One of my friends used to make a joke, those days in school. We'll be talking about, and listen to this, so we'll be talking about Michael Jordan. Say, oh, Michael Jordan is so good. And he would tell me that, Banky, I'm not impressed. You know, Michael Jordan, American basketballer. The gist was everywhere. In fact, there was one gospel rap album that we had then by Michael Peace. And he was talking about heaven. This was how he introduced it, a conversation between two people. He said, hey, Michael, are you going to be there? Instead of saying yes, the guy said, is Michael Jordan the best? That's their way of saying yes. Because Air Jordan is just too good. Are you following what I'm saying? So my friend said that, look, that is not impressed. That all the days and nights I spent studying physiology, biochemistry, anatomy, pharmacology, and pathology, if I spend it playing basketball, me too, I will be good. And because we're medical students, all right? And we spent all our time reading. Now, when he said that, of course, it made sense, but there's something I want to bring out. If you don't have it inside you to fly through the air and dunk a basketball, if you like, wake up at night. You will eat what the Bible calls the bread of hard labor. I'm coming to something, you know? I'm coming to something. Because anybody can learn to do something. That's why I said that earlier. But then there are people that have something inside them. Now, this is it. When the person that has something inside him now takes time out to learn the thing that's inside him, that is what produces excellence and being outstanding in life. As long as you are striving for the one that's not inside you, the best you can be is average. Do you follow my point? That's why you hear someone like Mike Murdoch or Bishop Oyedepo say that there is a place where you are the best. Well, what are you doing where you are average? One day, a colleague of mine, in my office, so we're doing some work. He saw a book in my hand. The title of the book is John Alexander Dowie. A story of his life, his triumphs and tragedies, something like that. It's a book that I looked for more than 12 years. I finally got it this year. So he looked at the book and said, ha, this man. I'm sure you read more of these kind of materials than medical materials. I look at him, I say, yes, of course. I say, most certainly, yes. What was I saying? Oh boy, listen. Pathologists come, they go. Do you understand my point? There were many before me. There will be many after me. I have not seen anything in life that will make me outstanding as a pathologist. In my class, we were 180 medical doctors that graduated. There have been thousands and thousands since that time. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be a doctor. Get what I'm saying? You are following my point. But that I have discovered a place where being outstanding is my portion. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I have discovered the one that nobody can say that I'm just one of a multitude. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, you now think I won't spend more time on that. I will spend more time on the one which I just merge with all the Joneses. No. I told him most certainly, yeah, yes. I spend more time reading this. And in case you want to know, it's a matter of time. I will soon give you a resignation letter once. One day, yes, of course. Look, listen, for those of you who want to know, the reason I don't like idleness, you've heard me say it before. The kind of ministry I run right now, I can run it the way I run it right now. So I can't wake up in the morning and be phoning people, please, do you have space for me to come and preach? I don't want that. So I keep myself occupied to a particular level. And I'm very careful about my time. That's why I don't do private practice. Private practice opens up, I don't want to do. I left that one a few years ago. Do you get my point? Because I'm spending my time on something that is outstanding. In fact, one day my mom said something. She was asking me about that. That you used to do private practice then. How far was your practice? I said, that one. Mommy, I abandoned it long ago. She said, why? I said, ministry takes all my time. And that's not a joke. Kingdom World Ministries, the activities thereof, all right, writing books, preparing messages, editing messages, and doing all of this takes at least half of my waking time. That if you don't count the time I spend driving from one place to the other, you understand? But my productive time, yes. Last Saturday, I told that all the messages from the beginning of the year till last Saturday will be ready by today. I had to travel yesterday morning because I traveled yesterday, came back this afternoon, all right? I made sure everything was ready. I dropped them in Keruzo. I sent a text to Lise Meka and Israel. Please pick them up from Keruzo. I said, it takes too much of my time. I don't have the time to spend on that practice. And she made the statement, listen, and I will tell you the answer I gave her. She said, but that one doesn't give you money. But that one doesn't pay you. And I remember, I think it was an inspiration. I answered. I said, but that's the reason why I was born. That's the reason why you had me as a child. I said, we will now neglect the reason why we were born because it does not pay money. Do you get the point I'm making? So, personally, I discovered this is where I am excellent. This is where when I unite my labor, you get my point? My diligence with something that is inside. Because he said, thou didst form my inward parts. There's a particular way God formed me. Now, get what I'm saying? That's how I was made. If I unite that with my diligence, what I produce is what? Excellence. There are many things in life you can do. There are so many things, but there are very few that you can do and be outstanding. There are extremely few. And one of the disciplines you teach yourself in life is how to ensure that most of your productive energy is spent on that one in which you become excellent. You've heard of these, those of you who know studies like that, you should give me the name, I've forgotten now, the 80-20 rule. Is it Pareto? What do you call it? Pareto principle, yes. The 80-20 rule is applied in many ways. For example, they'll tell you that 80% of a company's revenue comes from 20% of its products. All right? 20% of the staff of a company produce 80% of the results. All right? And that's just the way it is. You will discover in life that there is a 20% for you that is outstanding. I'll give you Pareto's law. Put 80% of your energy into that one. That is how people become outstanding in life, all right? I'm just explaining these scriptures that we read. Let's go on. There's another one. Okay, yeah, still in that line. There's one more scripture we should read. The book of Romans chapter 12. In fact, what I want to read there is what I'm already explaining. There's something I said earlier, which I should reiterate again. Every believer is a minister. Did I hear an amen? Now, repeat what I said. Every believer is a minister. That includes me. Say that.
That includes me.
All right. Because unconsciously, you know, that's where we've been brought up. You think the pastor is a minister. You are not a minister. And I'm not one of those who believe that everybody is the same. How can we all be the same? You have your job, I have my own. We can't be the same. Do you understand my point? Uh-huh. The goalkeeper and the attacker, they are not the same. One man keeps the goal, another man does the attack. And let me just say this quickly. Have you noticed? Now listen to this. Let me just say that quickly. Have you noticed that it's very rare for a goalkeeper to be the footballer of the year? Otherwise, Enugu footballer of the year, Nigerian footballer of the year, African footballer of the year, or world footballer of the year, whatever it is rare. I don't know any. I know it must have happened before, but I can't remember the day a goalkeeper was named the footballer of the year. Or you finish a tournament, they say the most valuable player is a goalkeeper. But you also know that there have been times that the goalkeeper is the reason why they won the cup. There are goalkeepers that were sent by God to frustrate the best attackers. That is, once the guy just stands gidigba like this, where you won't take, in fact, some of this, I see the Holy Spirit diverts the balls into their hands. Have you not seen that? It's true. There was, I'm not much of a football fan. There was one game we watched once in Lagos. I've never seen a goalkeeper like that. A European club side competition, all right, match. And in fact, the commentator said this goalkeeper is too good. That anyway, he has to be this good, having so much practice because he played for a club that's this bad. That is, the defenders were so used there that this guy has a lot of practice. Balls were always coming towards the net. Enter, who side? They don't enter. They shoot here, bam, the guy will catch. As the, look, give him a rebound. He goes across and catches from the other side. Yet the commentator commented that his co-players are very terrible, and that's why he is that good. But the point I'm making is this. Goalkeepers work, but human beings don't always give them the honor that they deserve. And that's one reason why people miss their calling in life. Because human beings hardly give honor to certain vital callings. So unconsciously we start striving for that which they always give honor to. And we'll talk about that. You must be careful that they don't derail you from your calling because they give honor to somebody else. Very few young men who want to play soccer ever think about becoming a goalkeeper. In fact, I don't know when last they discussed on the news the transfer fee for a keeper. Look, you guys who know football, please correct me. Is it Kaka the other day that, that they were fighting over, go to Manchester City and Manchester Village or somewhere. And they were discussing that one. But nobody makes it a central, discussion on the transfer fee for a keeper. So most young men, that's the thing, even though they can play soccer very well and they know how to keep, all right? They are very good goalkeepers. But if they have to go to church and give a prayer point, they won't pray that God make me a good goalkeeper. Everybody wants to be a Drogba. They want to be a Kaka. Who else is there? Anyway, they want to be just attackers. But listen, without a goalkeeper, if you like, have two Drogbas, two Kakas, two Kwanwankos, two of the best strikers, put them there. Look, that's your goalpost there. It will receive 100 goals before you go home that day. That is when you will understand what it means not to have a goalkeeper, no matter how good your Kanoankos and all your Kakas are. And let me tell you, this is how God does it. Each man receives his reward. Now, God rewards people differently from how human beings do it. The Bible says each man receives his reward according to his labor, not according to the honor that men give him. Not according to the publicity that they give to his profession. Each man receives his reward according to what? His labor. And that's why, I said, I think it was last week or the week before that, that we must learn the things that are really satisfying. We must learn the things that God says is good. We must learn it. Don't let the world teach you things. So, let me tell you the truth. Whether they pay you $1 million a year or $10,000 or $10 million a year or $100 million a year, it makes no difference as a footballer. You know that. As a matter of fact, it doesn't make any difference. Most of the extra money they pay you, it becomes a headache. You don't even know what to do with it. That's gospel is very hard to preach to people these days. They say, Oga, that's serious cushion against economic depression. Believe me, the higher you are, the bigger you can fall. Do you understand that? Yes, I'm telling you the truth. Oh God, I wish you would understand what Jesus said. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. There's no man who's safer in life because he has more money. Do you get the point? So please then, don't let the world teach you standards. I told you I want to go and do a seminar in Benin. Talking about gifts and callings, the title of the seminar was My Course and My Call, because this was a university setting, all right? So you are studying a course in school. Let's discuss that as beside your call, what God wants you to do in life. So last session, we had a question and answer session. You have a call, you have a gift. I talked about your gift, that is your skill, something that's inside you naturally, okay? So different people were supposed to ask questions. And 90% of those who asked could either act or sing. Do you understand? I know I'm a gifted singer. Excuse me, sir. See, I know how to act. I'm a gifted actor. After a while, I thought, wait. There's no gifted footballer here. No gifted writer. No gifted teacher. No, okay, there was one gifted cook, at least. Thank God, though. That one saved me from all my troubles. No gifted fashion designer. No gifted artist. No gifted architect. No gifted event manager. All of them were gifted actors and musicians. I say, it's not your fault now. It is Two-Face and Genevieve. Now, then cause all the wahala. You heard that Guinness, was it Guinness that paid $40 million to Kenny's Music for Two-Face to say everybody no say me too legit to quit? I saw that advert once. I said, no wonder. You understand my point? You heard, $40 million naira just to shoot an advert for one day. You hear say when Genevieve show for one movie, $1 million enters into the pocket. And that's because she stayed there for only for one full week. If she stays more than 1 week, so you think that kind of thing, suddenly you become gifted. Suddenly become gifted. No, that's the problem with human beings. Because the strikers are the ones that get all the glory and all the honor. The men who God called to be goalkeepers, they don't want to keep. You follow the point I'm making? That's how people, they help us lose our track in life. Even we preachers, self, even we preachers. At least I have studied a lot about ministry. And have, that's why you've heard too many TDJXs around, have you not? I said, you just faint for nothing. That's why I swore, God, please, I don't want to sound like anybody. The greatest opposite of compliment somebody ever gave me, if you tell me like, you sound exactly like Bishop Oyedepo, I won't sleep. I will listen and check to the things. I will check for the things I say that is like his own. Now, you see, if you listen to somebody so much, the person will rub off on you. So that one is here. So that's just my own. That's my response to the fact that I hate this thing so much. I just want to sound like Pastor Banky. I like it. I want to sound like me. It's an unconscious thing. If a man blesses you so much, you want to sound like him. There was a time, and these things have come in, and it has killed people. It's come in fads and, you know, there was a time that prophets and evangelists were the reigning thing. All right? In ministry. What I mean? They will come. Listen to me. God is coming to get you. God is coming to get you. And right now, shout. And listen, if you don't give your life to Christ, you will die tonight and go to hell. If you don't want to go to hell, come for. And you know, God, and they go. People go wrong. So the sign of a good evangelist, so when he makes the altar call, the front go full. Oh, but there was one man, Jonathan Edwards. He preached a sermon, very famous sermon, titled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They said when he was preaching, people held the pillar thinking that if they release it, they will fall down into hell. And look, that's an anointing. The guy terrified everybody with his preaching. And of course, because of that, every young man that entered into ministry had to be like Jonathan Edwards and people like him. Condemning people, you will die and go to hell. I've been in the church before. I listened to this man preach about 3 times. I didn't go back. Today I want to preach about born again. You say you are born again, you are still smoking cigarette. Let me tell you, you are going to die and go to hell. Wait, why I say, is it not church? I mean, did you enter a disco club or something? This is church now. You say you're a Christian woman, you are still abusing your husband, you are dead, and you are going to hell. Dude, the man, after a while, gosh, I couldn't wait for that service to end. Oh, I ran outside. What was that? Next service, I said, well, maybe that was a bad day. I came back. It was only my youth service. Then the man began again. He gave another topic. The same story. You will die and go to hell. You will die. After that, I said, boy, I'm not dying. I'm not going to hell. Thank you very much. I'm not coming back here. That's the only thing I'm sure of. Now, Now, it started from somewhere, from the stories of people like Jonathan Edwards. Now, this interesting part, under people like Jonathan Edwards, if you heard that, it won't turn you off. If you were a believer, you wouldn't be afraid. If you were not, you would really be afraid, and people were genuinely converted. Then that season passed, became the season of divine healing. And people, oh God, if you were not a divine healer, you won't go preach anywhere. There was a time that prophets were the reigning thing. As soon as you start preaching, as I open my Bible, the Lord showed me that two people are sitting down over there. And they are not lying. True. And you know, people like to follow that which is sensational. So the crowds will gather. So every young man who's coming to ministry, he too has to see vision. What's your problem? So if look, listen. I have been for a birthday party on campus. You hear what I said? A birthday party. We gathered to jollificate. I still remember that brother that day. He was wearing a white dashiki like this on top of his trousers and shirt. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are two people there who are sinking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are two people there who are having headache. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are three people there who are backache. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He kept on giving word of mouth. I will look like this one. What do you think? Listen, see, how many of you know Reverend Chris Oyakhilome? I have known him for a very long time. All right? That is not personal. It's not my friend. He doesn't come to my house. I mean, like, from a distance. First time I saw him, when they first started what is Christ Embassy now, all right? Then YFC. I attended when I was on campus, 1986. It's quite a while ago. He was. If you want to hear gist. Okay, let me give small gist just to satisfy this long truth where you see all the truth. All the truth, just a stretch. But listen, you have to be careful. There was later on I found out something. Actually, what happened that time, God poured a heavy anointing in demonstration of power into especially campuses. It was, my wife would tell you, they went to see Reverend Kola Iwosho. He was telling us stories that I didn't know that time. Look, my friend Anne, she's in Onitsha now, she's a community health physician. Her husband is a preacher and is a pharmacist, a businessman and a music minister. You know, then when she was in secondary school, Reverend Chris Oyakhilome will go to their school to go and preach. And these are the days when once preacher just appeared, do like this, everybody's on that. Look, you're on the floor. It's not struggle. You know, just. In fact, Reverend Ewosho said that once he went to go and preach in Aba as a student. As a student, University of Benin. Holiday, he went to go and preach in, I think it was Aba or Uma here. One of those two places. Somewhere in Abia State. And he said, people gathered, and some people actually gathered to come and cause trouble. He did not know. So when he finished preaching and he said, okay, now, they should watch. He didn't even know what he was going to do. He just said, Holy Ghost! As he said it, those guys they virtually caught fire. That is, they thought they were burning. People were falling on themselves. People were jumping out through windows. He didn't even know. All he did was, Holy Ghost! And said that when Reverend Chris, Yakilume, will come to their school, once he said, we have seen people fall under the power too much. Why should they always fall? Why can't they rise? Let's begin to pray. As they were praying, people were actually getting up from the floor and floating in the air. It was around that time I entered campus. There was one brother, he's left Nigeria and has gone to the US. Wants to give him a microphone. Yes, Father, amen. Then there are these visions all over the place. And there was a way he used to talk. This is how he used to illustrate when he's talking. Next thing you know, any young man give microphone. I'm serious. Now, this is the interesting part. Reverend Wushu will tell you that after that, that when he left school and entered into ministry, all those manifestations vanished. He asked God, where did they go? They didn't do anything to bring it on. And there was nothing they could do to sustain it. At the point in time, God pulled them back. There's one man, his name escaped me now. Such things usually follow his ministry. He said one day he sat down and he was supposed to preach, so he sat down. He traveled. So while waiting to be called up, he was on his seat and he fell asleep. So after a while, he said, let us welcome to the microphone. Let's assume his name is Mr. Daniel. Let's welcome the man of God, Mr. Daniel. And that one woke him up from sleep. And he got up to go forward. As he got up, everybody sitting on his row fell down. He said he didn't do anything. He was asleep. They thought he was in the spirit. No, he was exhausted from his journey. So while they were singing and worshiping and praising and giving announcements, he fell asleep. When he heard his name, he rose up. And he just got up to go forward. And everyone who was unfortunate enough to be on his row fell down under the power. Very dramatic. Is that okay? This is why I'm telling the story. Because of things like that, every young man wanted to preach. That's when you hear that the gift person stood. Come, let me pray for you. In Jesus' name. You're putting the put leg behind you. I'll push you over. Some people now say, look at it. You want to know the truth? Some people actually push people. But that's not where it started from. Do you understand my point? Like I said, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. Do you understand my point? That was not where it started from. There were real manifestations like that. Unfortunately, if you have not been taught, you will think that if those things are not accompanying your ministry, you're not in ministry. But this is another interesting part. There was a time teachers came up. Can they go tell the story? Before, you had people shouting and shouting. A season came in which people would open the scriptures and start dissecting the scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and it was void. The word was actually is rendered 425 other times as became. And the only time, and then so, enlightenment. So the literal Hebrew actually, and the world became without form and void. And darkness was over. Let me explain the meaning of the word over. Over means to come from behind, overtake and surround. And so as to give, you know that kind of. And listen, it used to captivate people. You know, see, if you say, I've been telling different stories. It used to really captivate people. I remember the first day somebody said, the Egyptians that you see today, you shall see them no more. And he began to explain the meaning of the word see. As a young man, I didn't understand. In this Bible, what do you see? Are you seeing? Hey, look. Man. This was shortly after entire school. Teachers were the happening thing. So when they gathered like this, amen. Oh, Kenny Hagin was everywhere. It is not what the Lord can do, but what he yearns to do. And all the shouting and jumping vanished. Everybody was calm. You couldn't preach without giving three Hebrew words, two Greek words, hack a song. No, that's it. So I heard a man say, some people are singing. No, they sang a song. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said that is Old Testament. The Bible says your life is hid with Christ in God. All of that trying to impress people. It wasn't necessary. What I'm saying is, have you noticed different seasons, different fads, different happenings? People losing their ministry here and there. There's one great man, anointed prophet. Now, let me tell you, when they say man is a prophet, this man was so anointed, that the way he's a minister, he will just call you. That is, he wants to pray for you. As soon as you step forward, you've not told him anything. He tells you your name, where you're from. Tells the problem that brought you to church that day. Where you were 3 days ago trying to address this problem. And what God said he should tell you about the problem. So detailed. Look, W.F. Kumuyi, how did one of my seniors in school give his life to Christ? He went for a Kumuyi crusade. And Kumuyi said, there is a young man here. He began to describe everything about the young man. The Lord said, this night is your night. Come and give your life to Christ. This bro is in a lie. I know they go anywhere. Then the man will talk and he said, look, listen, next I'm going to call your name. The guy said, no, I bet this is enough. Don't embarrass me for that. He ran, literally. It's called a word of knowledge. They don't have one. Do you understand my point? I don't want to give that man's name. This man, that's how powerful it was. I heard the story that because of that, some people decided to test him. They thought he was spying because people used to feel form before they come. Is that okay? So they decided to go and write that my name is Ajanle Koko. Ezekiel. I'm like this. I'm from. They wrote a lot of lies. Wrote that they had about three sicknesses each, two young men. And they went and killed to be prayed for. As soon as he put hand on the first person, he said, what do I see before me? I see two young men who have purposed in their hearts to deceive the man of God. And they have filled the cars to say they are like they have this sickness and this sickness and this sickness. He said, therefore, let it come upon them as they have written. No. Look, don't let me. When Bible talk about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, be careful. Don't try a man of God. Don't. Don't. All the hidden things of their heart, he told them, place the curse upon them and move them aside. Went to the next person. That same man, listen to me. 5 years before he died, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin that this man, I'm going to remove him. Because now he's leading the body of Christ astray. Do you know why? At that season, the teachers moved in. They became the happening things. So he too, those are the days of people like F.F. Bosworth. People like Ken Hagin were moving in. Those are guys who used to analyze scriptures, line by line, here and there, you know. And they were pulling the crowds. So you were not a happening preacher if you couldn't do it. So he too began to preach. It began to teach the scriptures. He had very little education. Didn't know the Bible very much. He too desired to teach. He was the one that originated all kinds of strange doctrines. That Cain was conceived of Satan. That the forbidden fruit was that Eve slept with Satan. And he's teaching him. And therefore, it was only Abel that was conceived by Adam. That Cain was of the devil. That's the word of the devil. It's because of all kinds of... God said, hey, this is enough. This boy is embarrassing me. I said, no death is by accident. How did he die? A drunken driver ran into his car. Flung him and his wife out of the car. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, his son who was in front, because his former wife died during a particular flood. So his first son by that woman was driving the car in front, saw the accident in the back. He turned around and came to where they were lying down on the floor injured. He said, how is mama? That's his wife. The boy said, I think he's dead. He told him, no problem. Take my hands and put it upon her. He did. The woman came back to life. Look, the man was... Then he now died. And the woman lived. If you read Ken Hagin's stories, or if you listen to his messages and read his books, he said there was a time he was in a meeting and he just heard so-and-so person has been in an accident. Everybody pray. He said he was about to start praying. Then the Holy Spirit reminded him, 5 years ago, I told you I'm going to kill him this year. I just tapped his wife. He said, don't bother praying. He's going to die. Why? Because he left his ministry of being a prophet and ran to become what? A teacher. And because, listen, I'm a teacher, all right? And I can assure you of something. I tell my wife once in a while, I said, look, there's no point being humble, all right? Beyond measure. I am inspired. I don't mean that as a joke. I literally am inspired. There are many times, look, I have been in services. A man will read a line. He said, open to Jeremiah chapter 1. Then the Lord said, as soon as he reads that scripture, suddenly a sermon appears in my heart. And guess what? He starts repeating the sermon. I don't know him from anywhere. I'm just sitting in church. He just reads a line. As soon as he reads the line, I just say, oh, look at the truth inside here. Not knowing that's what the man spent the last 3 days preparing. As soon as he reads the line, the whole thing is decoded to me. How many times have I stood up? I want to pray. I read the scripture. The light is so intense. The next one I never asked, I'm talking on something I just read now. People think that, oh, you have meditated on that scripture. Now lie. There was a day I finished preaching. My wife said, you don't teach me these things now. I said, it's not my fault, baby. As you the hearing, and so as me to the hearer. Two of us the hearing at the same time. Because it's coming from my mouth. The thing saying, I mean, just the cooker up. It's a gift. It's a calling. Are you getting my point? Now, but when a man doesn't have it and he decides he's going to force himself, one area where you be careful. If you're not called to be a carpenter, you decide to be a carpenter. Not only money you don't go get. Amen? It's true. When it comes to ministry, it's not like that. That is one area. You know, if you go and check it, James warned about it. That's one area where you don't dabble into anyhow. It kills people. It kills. There was one man, he died some time ago. The moment, God, I hope you can grab this. The moment the man died, I didn't even know he was sick for a long time, but he died. I don't give you names so as not to confuse you, all right? There are two of them, if I mention you know, they died from the same diseases, two different parts of Nigeria. The second one, I didn't know very well. The first one, the day I saw him preaching on TV, I remember, I don't know what I told my wife. I said, this guy shouldn't be preaching. I just said something. I said, this man. I heard him for just about 30 minutes. I said, this man shouldn't be preaching. I said, this man should not be preaching. I don't know who sent him here. I just thought about it and dismissed it. I said, this church thing has become politics. an organization that you think can just build yourself up to a higher ranking. If you don't have the calling, don't let them give you title. He acquired the title for himself. A few years later, I heard the man was dead. I told my wife, if I tell too many stories, you'll guess who it is. This was many years ago. Oh, you may not know, she's not from this part of the country. I told my wife, you know who's responsible for this man's death? She said, who? I said, go and grab that woman. I said, it's his wife. Why? Because I've heard the woman talk. I heard her talk for 10 minutes that this woman is a preacher. That is, there's no story about it. This woman is called. She's a preacher. The fact that your wife is a preacher. Look, Joyce Meyer is a preacher. Her husband is not. The man decided to carry title. I just said, well, sorry. I read enough to know that such things is risky. God will just take scissors one day, just cut your head, put her in a basket. I'm telling you the truth. Look, if God didn't call you to be a carpenter, decided to be a carpenter, the only thing you won't have is what? Money. You still live. But if he didn't call you to preach, you go and buy a microphone. Because you want to take special offering. You know what I mean? Now, why did I even go into all of this? I'm trying to bring out something. Using that ministry thing. Each person came in, all right? Those people who made the mistakes. Because something began to, in quote, rain. There was a time, like I told you, the teachers were the thing. So that's why people like that man decided to start teaching, because they were not the ones pulling the crowds. They were the ones that, you know, was, you know, inspiring everybody, and everybody wanted to be like. But listen, the fact that T.D. Jakes blesses you doesn't mean you have to exalt like T.D. Jakes. Are you getting my point? T.D. Jakes is one person I love to listen to plenty in life. No, I'm serious. I love him. I'm not going to talk like him. I have no such plans. I can listen to Ken Hagin morning till night. I will not talk like Ken Hagin. I have no such plans. I won't force myself to see a vision God didn't show me. That's what people do, and evil spirits say, I like you, you're my friend. I'm telling you, look, last night I went for a meeting. We finished the meeting around, in fact, I don't know when we finished. All I know that I slept around 2 a.m. I don't know when we finished the meeting. Alright, me, I slept off. And because the meeting were existing, they were describing people. I said, look, a lot of those people, they use what they call familiar spirits. You know they call familiar spirits? Yes, evil spirits. Familiar spirits. Familiar spirits, I think, they will tell you, you come. There's a wristwatch on top of your table in the house. Yes, beside that wristwatch, there's a football. Uh-huh. Yesterday, you and your friend were playing the soccer. They turn the whole thing, it becomes sensational. It's not helping anybody. It's just making the man look powerful. Somebody told me that they'll be giving GSM number. The man shows up, gives you 5 GSM numbers, noise of the devil. What are you doing with GSM number? What I'm bringing, I'm not saying God cannot do things like that. He can. Of course, if he can give names, he can give number. Alright? But the point I'm making is that when you now turn into a matter of sensationalism, trying to show, I mean, Ken Hagin, go and read that book, he gave this on to men. Men who come, they come to you, good morning, sir. The Lord said, in your top drawer in your bedroom, there's 7,000 naira. And the bottom drawer, there's 75,000 naira. Holy Spirit says, I should tell you to go and bring the money and give to me. You that have never seen such things. Ah! He is a man of God, though. If he becomes people like me, I will tell him, truly, in my top drawer is 7,000 naira. That I'm going to use to pay my mechanic. In the bottom drawer, there's 75,000. That is the one I plan to use to buy my new shirt, my new shoe. And so you, man of God, ain't giving you nothing. And if he stays there long enough, I will rebuke that familiar spirit out of his life. He will never be able to operate again. He said, how can, go and read it. Paul did it, he got him in prison. When Paul drove away familiar spirit. And it's not today. Look, those things, and don't let me bore you. Do. Let me sit on the main thing I'm trying to explain. The point I'm saying in all of this thing is that, see, because of what is sensational and what people are giving glory to, that's why keepers don't want to keep. They want to be attackers. But because it's not inside them to outrun somebody else. You get my point? It's not inside them to not change the direction of a ball while they are in motion. They never make it. Listen, I said each man receives his reward according to what? His labor. According to his labor. So forget trying to impress people. Forget what people think is a happening thing. Billy Graham. You saw the way Billy Graham preached? While people were prophesying, he was preaching like that. While they were seeing visions, she was preaching like that. While they were doing in-depth teaching and analysis, he was preaching like that. He outlived almost everybody. Do you get my point? There was one man, R.W. Schambach. The same way Schambach preached from the beginning till now, the demand didn't change. His life is full of the manifestations of God. Listen, look, just be yourself. You don't have to be somebody else. Because when you try to be somebody else, you become nobody at all. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? The reason being that what God created you to be, you are not being that thing. And the one you are trying to be, everybody knows you're a copy. You know, once a TD Jakes enter, you know another TD Jakes has entered. When you leave, how's that message? Say, very nice. It sounds like TD Jakes. You know, you don't think you're insulting anybody. You don't think you're insulting anybody at all. You say, as soon as that man finished preaching, it was very nice, very nice. I think he must have read this Miles Monroe book. In fact, it's not like Miles Monroe. You know who he's trying to be like. You know. One day you see his book. It's a good book, but since Miles Monroe's own is there, why buy the one trying to copy Miles Monroe? You buy the Miles Monroe and you go. I like the way TDG said it. He said, I am the best me that God ever made. Are you getting my point? Yes, I'm the best me that God ever made. Everybody else trying to be like me is just a copy. And listen, the important thing for you to note is that you are also an original. And let me say this, hear this clearly. If T.D. Jakes had copied somebody else, you would never have known him today. Do you get my point? He wasn't trying to sound like anybody. That's how come you got to know him. If he tried to be somebody else, you never would have gotten to know him. And in the same manner, if he tried to be somebody else, nobody will ever get to know you. But if you remain what God made you to be, then one day, it's okay when you are small, 16, 17, 18, 19, you know, those kind of 20, 21, be copying somebody else. It's a good time. But one day you should wake up and say, now I have grown. Who am I? So one day when you grow, you will see small young people trying to copy you. Are you getting my point? You know, you've heard me say it before now. I said, I made up my mind in life. I will dress the way I want to dress. I don't believe that something is not in fashion. Me? I am a dictator of fashion. In Jesus' name, I'm a dictator. Hey, I was telling, it was my wife I was talking to. I wish it was the one. I said, look, there are Christians should learn something. Stop trying to copy people. We should grow up and be the ones people will be copying. They say, they don't wear socks with native. I said, the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 25. He said, what? I said, what I mean is that where is it written? Somebody woke up and said, I shouldn't wear socks with native. That's his personal problem. When I like, I wear it. He said, you don't know fashion. Don't worry. Just wait. It's a matter of time. You see people defending what they are wearing. That's what Pastor Banky wore last week. Wait now. You know, my wife sells clothing and stuff like that. People say, no, two-button suit is the one that is raining now. I say, listen, I wear the suit that fits me. I don't give a damn about what is raining. In fact, for a long time, I deliberately refused to wear the two-button. My reason, they say it's raining. I said, look, let me tell you something that happened one day. I went to one bank, FCMB. I wore a three-button. All right? I came out of the bank, and I was walking. And my wife, she came and said, my husband, is that you? I said, you. See, I was just looking at who's that handsome young man that just walked out. I said, you see? And I wear a three-button suit. You get the point? It is two-button. That one. Look, if it fits me, I will wear it. But God forbid that I will say it is the thing that is raining. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the one people copy. Look, let me tell you. If Michael Jackson appears tomorrow with green shirt and gray and purple trousers and yellow shoes, just wait for a few minutes. You will see people appear even on talk show with green shirt, purple trouser, and yellow shoes. And this is the interesting part. Nobody will think it is bad. Because they all saw it when Michael Jackson wore it. I told myself, in life, I must be important. Let those who don't have any substance in themselves, let them copy me. Or in fact, what I even say is that, listen, you young ladies, pray that God will bless you and increase you. You will teach the younger people how to dress. Do you follow my point? Why should they be taking an example from people who their fathers have never hugged in life? Ah, you know a lot of these women that people copy. You know what their problem? You want me to tell you? Should I tell you? I know. I will tell you. It's called the Baba Fryo phenomenon. Oh, Baba Fryo. Notice me. Then go they pose. That is, he just wants to be noticed. Do you get my point? You don't feel important, so you want to be noticed. And you have to outdo each other. There were two girls I read about in Time magazine, the two famous people. They kept on becoming more and more naked. Once one appears without top, the other one will appear without top and bottom. That is, I must be more notorious. Why? People want to be important. So I tell my students, I say, stop copying those who their fathers have never said, oh, you are fine. You know, so they go out begging, please, now somebody appreciate me. You know Maria Carey, very good example. First day, I saw Maria Carey, I said, why is this girl removing her clothes? She wanted to do a musical. And she just said, first, she said, undressing. So what is going on here? Look, if I become president, I will ban all those not. Look, in fact, in Jesus' name, may any musician in Nigeria that starts like that, may he never sell, in Jesus' name. You know the reason? If you want to sell music very fast, it's very simple now. Sing one very, make sure your lyrics are very lewd, very nonsense lyrics, and then do the video with naked women all over the place. You'll make quick money. So when people want to start singing, that's what they tell them. You know I'm telling this whole story? People who don't know the problem of the people they are watching, they want to start copying them, thinking the people are feeling confident. They are not confident. It's their lack of confidence that's worrying them. The reason why they are going like that, in fact, you know, I was in, I went for a meeting in Benin, I told you. You know what they call this trouser, where they hang for here? And boys go, they walk out, trouser go there. Sagging, Somebody now said that they should go and listen to, oh no, it wasn't Benin, it was Praise Forward in church that was preaching. I say, oh my God, this is what we have been saying. That people don't know where the thing came from. It came because in prison, there's no size. So the tall guys couldn't get trousers long enough. So they would draw their trousers down so that it would look long. So of course, all the black rappers who are you have in prison, half out of jail, came out and made the thing in fashion. One day I was in a store, that was in Houston. I told two boys, come, your trousers are falling down. I did that deliberately. Come here, put that trouser up. I did like I didn't know what was going on. Two of them, hello, your pants are coming down. The guy looked at me and laughed and dragged the thing back up. In fact, they told me that there's one mayor in America. He told the police, any young man with trousers coming, arrest him. In decent dress. Now, the point I'm making all of this is that, see, it was when Praise Paul was telling that story, I said, look at what we have been saying. You think it's fashion? It's not fashion. It's prisoners teaching free men how to dress. So I told myself, in life, I must be important. If you want to know that I'm going to give a lecture, just see the way I'm dressed in the morning. When I'm going to class, I look like I'm going to preach. Look, I dress impeccably. I'm not joking. Wear my best shirt, my best suit, and I stroll to class. Cut my hair self necessary before I go. You know why? There's a reason why. Look, initially I didn't study deliberately. But later on, somebody told me something, one of my residents. Anytime he sees me, he says, Oga, you are looking good. Oga, I like the way you dress. So he will compare me to some other people. He said, do you know why? I said, why? Why? He said, you like the way I dress. He said, those days when they were students, that they used to look at some of the Ogas then, and they felt bad coming to study this course called medicine. That the Ogas looked like a sorry example of what they are going to become. So when he became a resident and he saw me, the way I would come to work, sometimes I wear a suit, even before I started wearing suits regularly, I might wear my shirt and trousers, talking very well, look nice. He said, oh, guy, it's good. At least you will encourage the young people. They will know that life is not hard after all. You know, because of that, I added that to my natural tendency. So after that, if I'm going to class, And my wife said, where are you going? I said, I have a lecture. That if she sees me dressing in the morning, where are you going? I said, I have a lecture. That is, I dress better for lectures than I dress to go to my office. I'm not going to give lectures. Why? I must teach young people what life is about. I mustn't look like I'm suffering because they won't want to graduate. So their father will still be sending money. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And we'll continue what we started to do next time. But the point I've made in all of this is that, look, you're a unique person. Before you were born, there was something that God created you to solve. Are you getting my point? And he made you specially for that. And you don't have to try to be somebody else. Are you getting me? The world often lifts up a standard which is different from that God wants you to be. They lift up the standard, they lie to you that this is how successful men behave. Are you getting me? But no, you don't have to be like them because you are unique. He said, before there was yet any one of them, your days were written in God's book. God knew what you are supposed to be. And I will discuss this one again next time. Listen, even if men don't reward you appropriately, don't ever forget, there is a day that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will give an account of what your life was like. Whether you like it or not, that day is coming. And it will determine for you what eternity will be like. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I've told you is a matter of fact. Therefore, don't let men make you into something else that you are not. I told all this story I told at the end. Because a lot of people are copying confused people, thinking they know where they are going. You are following a man, a woman, who is thoroughly lost. And you think because the world painted him up very nicely. When you see the cover of a magazine, those faces are not real. The faces are not real. They take time out to paint up the face to look good. Dip that face in water. Let it come out. Let her smile the real smile. Then you know whether it's the happy person you are dealing with. I like one thing principal who was said in church a few days ago. He said, you think two faces happening? Ask yourself, where is Dizike Falola? Some of you won't know who Dizike was. Baby Kilode. That was many years ago, not now. Dizike sang in the 80s, early 80s. Baby Kilode was around 82, 83. He said, where is First Liberty? But the shortest reading was Alexito. Tickle me, tickle my soul. After he tickled the soul, that was the end of Alexito. I won't let somebody, a shooting star, you know what they call a shooting star? A shooting star cannot give you direction. Because you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Just flare, boom, and then burns out. You want direction? There's what the Bible calls, it said, then the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. It said, the path of the just is like the light of dawn, talking about the sun, that shines brighter and brighter. A shooting star will not give me direction. No, I won't let that happen. The Son of Righteousness, Christ Jesus, is my example. As long as I follow him, my life is automatically brightened. I become an important person. Do you get my point? Listen. These things you hear me say, ask my wife. Look, listen, this is not a joke. You might say, Pastor Manny, everybody listening to you now. No. The first time I met my wife, there was a day she told me that this man, you are too full of yourself. But thank God. She has found out that everything I said has been true. Very true. Very, very true. I've never told a lie. When she was saying that, when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, was he lying? Was he full of himself? If you are the light of the world, you are the light of the world. If you are not, you are not. I'm an important person. It's not my fault. God made me like that. You get my point? There's only one banking on the surface of this earth. I'm not talking like anybody else. I don't look like anybody that talks like me, that preaches like me. In fact, good enough, many of the popular doctrines in Christianity, I don't agree with. And I have refused to mold my doctrine to make anybody happy. You know, I like radio. I like the kind of ministry I run. You know, I need no permission from anybody. So if you come to our church, don't preach like this. Oh, don't worry. Your members will hear me on radio. Please, are you getting my point? I'm saying that you are an important person. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I'm saying that if you put your effort into the calling, the gift that God deposited inside you, then you will come out excellent. Did I hear an amen? That's why you put, remember our Pareto principle application? Make sure that 80% of your effort goes into the very thing that will make you outstanding in life. And my time is, we'll develop it again next time anyway. But don't let, when I was preaching to meditating today, I said what I will preach is this: don't despise your own gift. Let me just end with that and I'll develop it next time so that I know I'm coming from here. Please, because of this thing I have said, don't despise your gift. If you're a goalkeeper, please keep the goal very well. Don't try to be a striker. Because human beings, you say all flesh is grass. Human beings, they are very funny. Let's take Nigeria as an example. All the years, from the time I was a small boy, at least when I grew up enough to be able to recognize things, Ola Vincent was CBN governor in Nigeria. Then after that, there was Ahmed. Then there was Sanusi. It was Sanusi after Ahmed. Anyway, they were going up and down like that. All of them, bankers. All of them what? Bankers. The first non-banker, an economist, that was appointed as CBN governor in Nigeria is Chukwuma Soludo. Nobel Peace Prize was always given to freedom fighters. Then in 2006, they gave it to a banker, an economist who became a banker, who started the Grameen Bank, Muhammad Yunus. Are you following my point? Human beings change. Watch it. They will sit down one day and say, how come it's only these strikers that are footballers of the year? Then you see 3 consecutive years to be one goalkeeper, to one defender, back to one goalkeeper, and one day they will even give a coach. And then you see all the young men, oh God, may you not be a goat in life. Because they will, suddenly, I'm not striking again. I'm going to be a goalkeeper. Suddenly they start posting on the goalpost. So, I mean, they're just leading them up and down. But listen. There's what the Bible calls glory. God is the one that glorifies people. Are you getting me? Do you know the interesting? Let me just tell this story. I read a lot of things and I'll close with it. Can I say something? I know sometimes, look, you must never be the one to assess yourself. Do you get my point? The Bible says, let another praise you and not your own lips. Ken Higgins said he loved to preach. He used to, you know what they call preach, actually? Well, let's get terminology. It's just this shout, talk, shout, talk, shout, talk. You know what I mean? That's what they call preaching. Teaching is what that's more systematic. So anyway, he said for a long time, the Holy Spirit has been prompting him to teach. And he never agreed because he said nobody wants to hear a teacher. Those days when he was a young man, everybody used to, you know, whip up his storm. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. If you know the Lord is good, shout amen. The Lord is good, you know. And they said women didn't used to come to church. Why would the women, that men didn't used to come to church? Why would the men go? It's women that enjoy all such things. According to Miles Morrow, women love to emote. They're emotional. That's Miles Morrow. In fact, when Miles Morrow was illustrating this, he said, do you know why the men didn't like going to church? That the preacher would say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He said, and the women are going, whoo, whoo, whoo. And the man is looking and say, he has said that in 3 times. Why can't he say something else? Anyway, he said those days, nobody wanted to hear a teacher because they were slow and boring. They wanted people who whip up the excitement, who jump in the air, slap your neighbor. Not like this, I mean like that. Then God is good. Touch somebody, you know. Can I get to say he was always doing that? And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you just settle down and teach? Let me cut the long story short. So one day he finally decided that he would do that. He told the Lord, I will prove to you that it won't work. So he prepared a very boring sermon and delivered it very slowly. Made sure everybody was bored. At the end of the day, he gave an altar call. And 6 men, that is only men, got up to come and answer him. He said, before I couldn't sleep because, and it was a small church. I mean, I don't mean that, you know, in Nigeria we're used to 1 million man crusades. I'm talking about in a small church. And that was very significant. Because he said, normally when things are good, One or two people will give their life to Christ at the end of the service. This one, six men. He said before he couldn't sleep because he was resisting the push of the Holy Spirit. He said now he couldn't sleep for repenting. He said, Lord, I'm very sorry. I think I shall hardly be teaching. They started teaching his church in his own home church. Started teaching the prayer meeting that women used to call. And they cut a long story short. The place began to swell. Everybody was coming. The men or the women, everybody filled the place to come and hear him teach. Why did I say, don't praise yourself, let another praise you? He thought he could preach. And then one day he referred to one of his messages that I preached in that particular message. And it's the only tape by Ken Hagin I couldn't listen to from the beginning to the end. After I talked for 10 minutes, I coined the tape. Say, bless it, something's wrong. This bro, bless it, don't backslide. Dude, you think you are doing it well. But Holy Spirit said, you are not getting any result. But why was it that I wasn't getting any result? Because he said what everybody wanted were preachers. They wanted those who will whip up the emotions. What am I saying? Until you begin to manifest the gift inside you, you don't understand the value of it. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Listen, nobody has seen it before. It's when you begin to release it that you will understand the value. Old man sang song once, you know, very nice song. Well, it's okay, I liked it. Then I heard him sing a native song. I said, my God, this guy is fantastic. And his friend said, we have told him that this native one is the one that he's skilled in. See, this English one, not trying to try. But say the guy no go agree. And when I was told, I felt very bad. Because a man is trying to make waves where he doesn't have the... Do you understand? He doesn't want to sound like a local singer. But listen, when Awilo attacked Nigeria, had you ever heard of Makosa before that time? After Awilo finished everybody, every small boy in Nigeria now began to... Even Christian Makosa appeared. In Jesus' name, you will be a pioneer. Did I hear an amen? You will do something that people have not done before and you'll become outstanding because of that. If you believe that, say amen. Alright, let us pray. The Lord is good.